Millennials are perhaps the most studied generation in history. For years, new studies on millennials seem to be published every day. But there is a new generation on the rise, a generation markedly different from preceding generations, Generation Z. Born anywhere from 1996 to 2012, we still have much to learn about this generation. This is Christian Curious, and I'm your host, Dr. Haley Gray Scott. Each week, we tackle some of the hardest, most pressing questions facing Christians in the 21st century. Today, I have the great joy to speak with my daughters, Ellie and Vivi, about the question, who is Generation Z? Eliana Scott is 13 years old and in the eighth grade. Her favorite sport is soccer, and she enjoys spending time with friends. She is currently obsessed with Stranger Things. When asked what her favorite subject is in school, she says science, but really, her true favorite thing about school is lunch, when she gets a break from class and gets to hang out with her friends. Vivian Scott is 11 years old and in the sixth grade. Her favorite sport is soccer, and she enjoys watching Netflix and a little bit too much YouTube. She even has her own YouTube channel. Her favorite subject is history because she loves learning about how the world came to be and the people who came before her. Ellie, Vivi, welcome to Christian Curious.
Hello.
Oh, hi.
Over the last few years, your lives have been greatly complicated by the COVID-19 pandemic. I'd like to know, what are some of the things that you learned about yourself during this time?
I learned that I can do a lot of more skills than I thought I could. And I can do much more than just not doing anything.
What do you mean?
So instead of just sitting on the couch, I learned that I can draw and sing and do a lot more than I expected I could.
So the flexibility gave you the opportunity to kind of learn some of your talents?
Yes.
What about you, Ellie?
I could say the same thing because I'm pretty sure that before the pandemic, we didn't do soccer. And then after it was over, we were so like starved for physical activity that we signed up for soccer and then figured out that we were good at it.
Yeah, that's true. What did you learn about the world?
Time flies when you're all inside.
Time flies when you're all inside. What about you, Vivi?
Same thing. Same exact thing.
Well, your generation is the most racially diverse generation in history, meaning you have unprecedented access to other cultures and people. And a lot during the pandemic, you know, we together, you and we watched a lot of foreign shows. We from Korea, from Israel, from Mexico, and many other places. What did you learn from those shows? What are some more important and interesting facts that you learned?
I learned that, like, especially Korean cultures, they have lots of customs in mm-hmm. their households, like eating on the ground with a cushion and stuff like that, and then wearing house shoes inside the house at all times. And it's just interesting to see, like, the daily customs of other cultures.
Yeah. I wish we would do the house slippers thing.
Yeah.
Vivi, what did you learn?
I learned that other cultures are still a lot like us.
In what ways?
Like, for example, we're still... Well, it's hard to explain.
What are some of the similarities that you see?
Like, we can make situations really, really awkward. Everybody can.
So awkwardness is a universal problem,
yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's one of your most big fears is socially awkward situations. Am I right?
Yeah.
What are some of the other things that you learn from watching other cultures? I mean, you know, we watched so many different Korean films. We watched, you know, a lot of adolescent films from Jerusalem. The girls from Israel, you know, what do you see? What are the similarities that you see between yourself and some of the people that you watch?
This is a difficult question. I don't know. It's just that, I guess no matter where we are in the world, we all share similar things. I mean, like, I don't really know how to explain it. We all just share similarities, no matter where we live or what we look like.
All right, so one of the things that we watch, another one of the things we watched during the pandemic, this really reveals to everyone my parenting style during the pandemic. I was just shoving my kids in front of the television. But we watched this story. We got 10 minutes into this documentary called Mankind, the Story of All of Us. And you both burst out laughing when the narrator explained that in the beginning there was a bang, which eventually led to the building blocks of all of life. Why did you find that so humorous?
I found it funny because honestly, it just, when you really think about it, it makes way more sense that a God created all of this, like literally every single small detail, than just a piece of dust did or whatever.
So there is an intelligent creator behind the universe. Makes more sense
Yes,
than the
def
bang.
yeah, definitely.
What about you, Vivi?
It's really funny because I bet they know that it can't be scientifically proven, but they still believe it just because they believe it. And it doesn't make sense at all, but they still believe it.
So in a sense, you're kind of calling them out on the fact that they can't scientifically prove that the Big Bang created the universe, but they believe it anyway, just like we believe in God, even though we can't scientifically, prove him.
Yeah, like
Exactly.
I was about to say, like we can't scientifically prove God either, but we have like tracks of in history of God, like the Bible, for example. It's all stories of where God's been and what he's done, and then there's actual proof of like Jesus existing. So, I'd say our theory is a little more rock solid.
How important is it to you that, there be facts and theories behind what you believe?
I think I don't know if it really matters. It just depends on your faith level. But to me, it's reassuring that there is facts and proof about God exist or Jesus existing. But the rest you have to fill in with faith.
So, what do you think about spirituality and religion? Because, a lot of people say that people are becoming less religious. They may not be less spiritual, but they're becoming less religious. And so, I'd like to know what you think about spirituality and religion.
I think spirituality and religion are very important in our daily life because I don't know, it's just really important.
Can you think of any examples of how it's important in your life?
I don't know, it just like as you know, I like praying a lot, especially at night, and then I also remind us before we eat sometimes, and that's an important part. For me,
Yeah. Why do you think it's important?
I don't know. I just feel like I don't really know why, but I feel like talking with God is really important to me.
Yeah. Vivi, what about you?
I also feel it's important because if you're in a tough situation, you do have some kind of reassurance that things can turn out fine. And it makes you feel better
Right.
about the seeing the world.
So, how do you see spirituality, in your daily life? How does spirituality affect your daily life?
It affects my daily life because I feel like the Christian community is really, it's really nice because, especially at our church, we're really kind and inclusive of everybody. And I just think it's really important, because if you don't have spirituality, you don't really have a lot of faith in God. So I feel like spirituality is really important.
Yeah. So you think that the community impacts your faith and helps your faith?
Yeah, because like if you have a really crappy church, then honestly, you're not gonna see God through that, and you're not gonna wanna come back to church and see God more. And so with our church, it just keeps people coming and keeps them coming back to learn more about God. So I think that's really cool.
Well, you know, a lot of the people that, you know, I've spent the last 5 years studying young adults and the faith of young adults, and the people that have the most problem with religion are the people who grew up in bad churches. So I think that you are, you know, hit it right on the nose about how important, you know, a good Christian community is. Mm-hmm. So what would you say would be like the most important parts of, you know, like if you could describe the ideal Christian community or the ideal Christian group, what would it look like?
I feel like it has to be full of God's love. And just like our church motto says, it says, connect with people, connect with Jesus, connect people with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like our church leaders have to be trying to connect with us, but also connecting with Jesus at the same time. That way we can learn how to connect with Jesus as well.
What are the ways that your leaders have at church have tried to impact you or connect with you? You know, what things have they done that have been really effective for you?
Honestly, I just, my youth group leader, David, he really displays a lot of God's love in whatever he does. And he just shows you how much he loves you. He just really loves every single kid that goes there a lot. And that you can really see him showing God's love in that.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess it's just being Jesus in the world. You know, there's this song that goes, you know, your life is speaking so loud, I can't hear a word you say. But if your character is just overwhelmingly, you know, full of God's love, then that really helps other people's faith.
Yeah, because I think it's important to display God's love so people know what it's like to know Jesus.
At Denver Seminary, our online, on-campus, and hybrid graduate education programs prepare men and women to engage the needs of the world with the redemptive power of the gospel and the life-changing truth of Scripture. Our mission will equip you for any ministry calling. To learn more about our degree programs, certificate opportunities, and classes, visit denverseminary.edu.
So, Vivi, how important is spirituality and Christianity, your faith, in your daily life?
It's really important because I just feel like if I'm alone or feeling alone, I know that I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
And also, once I felt really alone because Knox died, our dog. But I knew that he went to a better place where he isn't suffering, so that kind of reassured me.
It brought you comfort.
Yep. Yeah,
that just happened 2 days ago. Having to put your dog down is probably one of the hardest things that you have to do as a family. It's really difficult. You know, in our family, we've always tried to be sure that, you know, we emphasize Christianity. But what do you see about spirituality and religion among your friends? Do you see it impacting your friends? How do your friends feel about it?
I don't really know. I've tried to, I think I remember one of my friends saying they used to go to church, but they fell out of it since their mom doesn't really go anymore. And I think a lot of it has to do with their parents, honestly, because I think their parents play a role in that as well, because they're the ones who brought them into the world. And honestly, it's just like a lot of people look up to their parents, and I think that their opinion and reassurance matters.
What about you, Vivi?
I see it in my friend Abby. She wanted to explore different religions, but her family didn't want to, and she tried to teach them about God, but they didn't listen. And she asked me, will my family go to hell since they don't believe in God? So I saw it in her.
What did you say?
I knew that if they didn't, I knew it, that they would go there, but I don't remember what I said, but I think I said yes. And she asked worriedly about it, and kind of just...
That was a really awkward conversation.
Yeah, but she texted me on Gmail. Not texted, but messaged me. So, yeah.
It's interesting that she would be the one to start the conversations about, you know, spirituality and religion, rather than, you know, it's usually the parents trying to get the children to go to church. But in this case, in her case, she was trying to get her parents to go to church. Why do you think that she wanted to know more about spirituality and religion?
I'm not sure about that, but I think I might have been the reason why, because I didn't exactly kind of like preach about it to my friends, but I did like talk about it sometimes. It's like, hey, I'm Christian, huh? Yeah. Yeah. And she probably picked up on that and wondered about it.
She was curious.
Yep.
Ellie, do you ever talk about your faith with your friends?
Not usually. I mean, I've gone into some conversations with them about it. Like I said, one of my friends, she used to go to church, but then she fell out of it because of her parents. And then one of my other friends, she also used to go to church, but then she also fell out of it because the religion was mostly her grandma's and passed down from from her grandma to her parents to her. And so it's just kind of fading.
You know, one of your closest friends is a Muslim too. And I'm curious about how you think about, you know, the Muslim faith and the Christian faith, and, you know, what are the similarities and the differences that you see, or how do you think about, you know, those two different religions?
I don't know. I mean, I certainly like our religion more than Muslim. I have two Muslim friends, actually, and they actually talk to each other about the stuff, but I think, like, it's called Eid. Sorry if I'm wrong, but it's called Eid, where they, like, fast for a month and focus on God. And I remember Hanifa, my friend, texting me, and she's like, I have to wake up at 4 a.m. every day just to eat. And
to eat or to pray?
To eat before the day, and then also pray. And I think that it's important to focus on God, but I just feel like some other religions, their gods tend to require a lot from them. Mm-hmm. And it's just fascinating to see the other religions in play, though.
Yeah, I mean, the Muslim faith, the Jewish faith, and the Christian faith all come from Abraham. So Abraham was a father of three faiths. Mm-hmm. So since you have unprecedented access to the world through the internet and television, what do you think about what is happening in the world today?
I don't know. There's a lot going on in our generation. I mean, and it's just, it's a pretty wide age group, and there's lots of differences just between in our age group. I mean, people in 1997, you said, people born then are going to have a lot of different thoughts than me, who was born like 13 years later. So it's just, it's not a big difference, but there's just a lot going on.
Right. I mean, you know, and that's one of the things that I've thought a lot about as I've studied generations is that, you know, this generation is so different. And usually, you know, the millennials are from 1981 until 1996. And usually a generation is 20 years. But they started Generation Z at 1996 because of September 11th. And it was, you know, those people had a conscious, you know, understanding of how much the world was changing, you know, because of that single event. However, you know, you live in a post 9/11 world, and you know, you're right. I mean, you are very different than those who are born in 1996. And you know, I think that technology also is, you know, extremely has a part to play in how fast generations that are changing and how generations are getting shorter and shorter, you know. And I see, you know, just between, you know, you at 13 and Vivi at 11, there are some really big differences, you know, between the both of you. You know, to be honest, you know, I think you can go a little bit longer without technology than Vivi can.
Yeah.
But what are some of the things that you see happening in the world that concern you?
I don't know. I just see lots and lots of arguments, and just I feel like online people are so rude. They're just bluntly rude, and then they just hide behind their screens after saying all that stuff. And I feel like they just don't really think about the people's feelings who they're talking to, and think about that there's actually another person in the world that's actually looking at what they said to them. And I just feel like maybe our generation should be more considerate of others' feelings a bit.
So primarily, where do you see these comments? Do you see these comments in video games and like Roblox? Or just where do you see these comments?
No, I don't really see them on Roblox, but like the people can sometimes be really harsh on like YouTube and other social media platforms. Like no matter what it is, they'll always find a way to criticize it, and they don't find the beauty or the light in what this person's trying to do or what their motives are. And I just think that's a really negative outlook on life, and that people should always try to find the good side of what people are doing, unless it's really bad and they don't deserve the good side. But I think people should be a little kinder to others.
Yeah. Vivi, what would you say is the biggest concern you have about your future?
I'm just concerned that that the hate will go up, like Ellie said. The hate that can ultimately, if you get too much of that, just even a tiny bit, it can increase suicide rates, and that can be some of the reasons why people are getting these suicidal thoughts, because they're watching all these other people who have the glamorous life, and like
an edited life.
Yeah, and also like those people, these skinny girls are starving themselves, and that leads other girls to do that, and it's just this, the internet can have a good side and a bad side, and it's mainly and there's a lot of the bad side, but a lot of the good side. So if we can't stop that bad side, we just need an even balance between the two.
Yeah. Ellie?
Just like Vivi said, I'm pretty sure our generation has, like, the highest suicide rates of any other generation, and they're, like, quickly increasing, and it just breaks my heart because people are always so hateful until it's too late, and they're just so rude and judgeful. That's not even a word. They're just so
judgmental.
So rude and judgmental, and they just don't consider the other person until it's too late, and they can't take back anything they said. And I just feel like that's heartbreaking because there's just so many kids out there that are just lost and just looking for help. So
looking for a friend.
Yeah, exactly.
This is my last question, but, you know, what do you think that leaders should be doing right now to create a better future? What should we be doing?
I think that, I don't know. Do you mean in, like, the Christian community or just in general?
In general.
I feel like just more love and reassurance and stuff like that, that could be really helpful. I see lots of pretty horrible parents out there, and they're just feeding into their child's behavior and stuff like that. And it's just a complete cycle because sometimes if they have hateful parents, they're going to grow up to be a hateful parent, and they're just going to harbor resentment for their parents forever. So
what should we do about that?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you can change some parents, honestly. And I don't know how to change it because, I mean, I just don't know how to do that. I just wish that there was some way to, like, comfort all those kids out there.
All the kids that don't have happy homes.
Yeah. I wish I could provide them with that.
Vivi, Ellie, thank you so much for being on Christian Curious.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Listening to the voices of the young is not a crystal ball with firm predictions about the future, but these conversations do provide a window through which we can see where the world is headed. You've been listening to Christian Curious with Dr. Haley Gray Scott. Visit our website at www.christiancurious.com to find more shows and more about us. That's www.christiancurious.com. Stay curious.